Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 15th of April, recording at 9:19 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quietly steady for the most part. There were a couple of exceptions to Japan down a little bit, Australia in the Pacific region down a tiny fraction. The China led markets were generally steady, China sector markets, and India positively boomed, a process that is now in its sixth week. Elsewhere, European stock markets have been mostly on the minus side all day and closed with small declines. Wall Street went sort of to and fro, but closed with closed near the higher side of the day. Modest gains of 1.25% for the Dow and the S&P, the Nasdaq virtually unchanged. Elsewhere, the U.S. dollar was a bit firmer in here today, with a dollar index really range bound. It's at just above 85. Precious metals. We have had a quiet day here. It's a quiet day kind of all around, with one big exception to mention in a moment, but precious metals are mostly a tiny bit higher in here today. Maybe the best gain shown by platinum. But the big story in the metal markets is in the industrial sector. All but aluminium. Aluminium, which is a product, had a small gain. Copper absolutely boomed, up another 11 cents to 224 in the U.S. And nickel was very strong, currently up to $12,500. That's up $650 here today. I had a big day yesterday, as you may recall. And copper has just been on a tear in recent weeks. Now, what else? That's pretty much it. Energy and very modest gains. Agricultural commodities a bit mixed in here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, there's no doubt that this has been and technically different this time as far as the last 6 weeks. Well, we're halfway through the sixth week. Have persistent, generally non-volatile gains in stock markets. We say so many things, but one of them you may recall being mentioned often, going back to around mid-March when this rally became apparent, that if it was going to be good, and as good as we thought it might be, because it was really only the Western markets that broke downwards in February and early March, that the move would be persistent, that it would be very much a sign of not only a great deal of short covering, but also demand coming in and overall regaining the upper hand relative to supply. Well, as I said, we are into the sixth week of a global stock market rally, and while it's been overbought in the short term for several weeks, we have seen little in the way of downward dynamics. We have seen little in the way of a pause, or little in the way of a reaction. We've had some small pauses. Now, the rally won't go on forever, but more importantly, I think that if we say what's actually going on here, and a lot of people are perplexed because the economic background remains dire, and a lot of people are saying, well, this is just a bear market rally, and some have been forecasting for several weeks that it's over or about to end in tears. Well, we respectfully disagree. And the reasons are many. First, I've often mentioned that all the building blocks for a global stock market recovery were in place. The only missing ingredient was confidence. What were those building blocks? Well, super low interest rates, both long and short term, very aggressive monetary and fiscal policies, particularly the monetary policy, low inflation, low commodity prices, blood in the streets, a great deal of fear in the marketplace, resulting in a very, very oversold market and large reserve of cash. So that's what we've had. The missing ingredients was confidence, but that has been returning somewhat slowly. There's still people who are telling the market where it should be in terms of downside numbers. But I think that what they're missing out on is not the economic data, which I don't quibble with those assessments. It does remain dire, but probably less dire than most people were expecting. In other words, all that talk of worse as bad as the 1930s, or some even saying worse than the 1930s, and talking about a depression and a major global deflation. Well, what we've seen here is the greatest reflation, the greatest monetary reflation in the history of the world. Now, that may well cause inflationary problems down the road. I think it will. But you can't have all that reflation without supporting something. And what it supports first is the asset markets. And while people have remained fixated on Wall Street and to a lesser extent Europe, as we keep pointing out, those are the two respective epicenters for the global credit crisis. And for leadership, we need to look at the countries that have high savings rates, current account surpluses, and decent GDP growth rates. And that of course takes us to China and the rest of the Asian region, which has been leading the way up. And that fortunately, that's a fuller money secular theme. And another related fuller money secular theme, resources. We've seen the strength of the South American resources markets, and Australia has come on pretty strongly in the last few weeks, as well as and that's important, as have some of the other resources markets that were lagging until quite recently. So, I think this remains a favorable environment for equities. Generally, we have this huge pool of cash, as I mentioned before. If people are still talking about a bear market rally, you know darn well that they're not long. And we can probably guess that they keep coming in and shorting and then having to cover, which helps to fuel the rally. The rally will boil over once we get either some sort of news development that suddenly terrifies people all over again, or more likely than not, it will be enough of the money on the sidelines has gone into the market to sate that initial round of demand, and then we spill over into a consolidation reaction and consolidation. But with each additional push to the upside, it becomes more likely that we will not see a retest of the lows for the weakest markets. Those are mainly in the West. And meanwhile, the upside leaders are testing and breaking above their 200-day moving averages. Those 200-day moving averages are still declining, but First they're broken on the upside. They're lagging indicators, of course. And then if the lead markets extend, or as the lead markets extend their overall upward trends, those moving averages will turn back upwards. So this is not a bear market rally, in my view. This is the beginning of the new bull market, where we are seeing some base formations completed. No doubt some other markets will see more extensive base formation development, and again, the Western markets are likely to be the laggards in that respect. Looking elsewhere, the long-dated government bonds, I tend to think, are on a hiding to nothing at these levels. It's only the promise or threat of government buying of their own paper, somewhat bizarre, isn't it, that keeps bond yields low and bond prices high, plus the fact that the people who hold those positions can at least console themselves with the fact that inflation is not a short-term problem. It's certainly going to be an intermediate and longer-term problem, in my opinion, given all the quantitative easing that has taken place. And what I described earlier is the most massive monetary reflation in world history. But inflation isn't a problem right now. So this remains a bit of a sweet spot for equity markets, in my opinion. And also for commodity markets, and I would play it accordingly. I wouldn't go haywire in here. That's good advice for any condition, any circumstance, not to go haywire. But I want to be long rather than short, and I am. And I'm also going to take some more profits as this rally strengthens, because eventually, as I say, it will spill over and lead to another consolidation. But I'm playing the long side. That's the big point. And remember, for the third time, this is clearly the biggest monetary reflation in human history. Now, it's monetary reflation, of course, that boosts asset prices. But it boosts some more than others, and we use charts to see that. Copper more than aluminium, for instance. Platinum more recently from its very, very depressed level, that sort of thing. Okay, what else to mention? Currencies. Currencies mostly range, as you know. But the specter of firmer commodity prices, which we are seeing in response to this reflation, is not something that is historically bullish for the US dollar. And my feeling is that I want to slowly be positioning myself to be short dollars. I've done a little bit of that and made a little bit of money doing that in recent months. And I'm going to do a bit more, but not be too aggressive, because I can see that these charts are still ranging around. And anything else to mention? Well, precious metals. Gold, as I've described, as Owen and I have just described on so many occasions, that this is this awkward period for it, both seasonally and I think perhaps this time even more importantly, in terms of seeing the end of the world buyers, the Armageddon buyers, drifting away and back into whatever other asset plays they choose, while other markets, other asset markets, outperform gold. And for gold, before the people who want the hard money investment increase their positions even further. I'm content to hold some precious metals during this period of underperformance, but again, I don't want to go overboard, and I'm only nibbling on setbacks in the sector. Technically, we need to see gold push clearly above that $900 level. That will be the beginning of the next upside move. Technically, there's a little resistance right now around that $900 level, which rebuffed it, rebuffed a rally that we saw on the markets, in the markets that were open on Monday, the U.S. and some others. But don't expect gold to outperform here in the short term. When it does start to outperform again, you'll see it in terms of upper dynamics above that $900 level. And I think that's pretty much it for another very interesting and hopefully for you also profitable day in the markets. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.